But just give us something we can take home.
Since I was up front and I'm the least, I want to go ahead and get mine out of the way. Be genuine. Be the same outside the pulpit that you are in the pulpit. Don't change personas when you get up there or when you get down, when you've been so engaged and so passionate and your message resonates, and then you're this cold fish when you go out and you're in your local work or even in the foyer. That means paying attention to people, giving them eye contact one at a time when you're talking to them, and not looking for the next person to go and shake and to be with. Be genuine all the time.
I'm not preaching now, but have for many years, and I'm also a teacher at Road Video Bible School. But my suggestion to all preachers is when you're working this week and studying for your sermon, do it very seriously. But it's not next week's sermon. It's the week after. Two reasons for that. Number one, if you're working 2 weeks in advance, your sermon has time to cure, and it'll be yours, and you'll be able to give it better. But secondly, you're going to be ready for interruptions. You're going to be ready for that person that needs you, that person that needs to have help. You're going to be ready for those three Bible studies a week. Be working on the next sermon. Let this one already be taken care of.
I would encourage us all to hone our craft. Two things with that. Number one, our content should be as good as we can make it be. Filled with biblical principles, verses, and information. Well illustrated, introductions, conclusions, and everything in between. Good application. Otherwise, it's data. What do I do with this? How can I apply it? The second part of that is not just the content, but the presentation of it. I would encourage us to listen to a recording or watch a recording of our sermons and critique them. You may feel like it's fingernails down the chalkboard. That would be preferable. But every time we have a chance to speak, to know exactly what we want to say it in the most convincing way possible, and let the message do the work that it's supposed to do. That does not happen by accident. It is by honing our craft.
Neil's admonition just a moment ago reminded me of something I read that said the most important person ever in the life of Christ was the person who was standing in front of him at any given moment. If we can develop that attitude, the most important person to me is the person I'm interacting with right now. That will enhance those relationships and give us a chance to impact people. Develop your personal devotional life. Do not be nothing more than a sermon factory where you're just cranking out the lessons. Develop your personal life, your personal worship life. If the only time you're worshiping God is on Sundays and Wednesdays when the church is assembled, you're not worshiping enough. And that goes for all Christians, but especially those of us who stand before others. If you don't do that, you will dry up. Take it from someone who knows.
A couple of passages come to my mind that as we think about ministry and especially preaching. I love where Paul says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Yea, woe unto me. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I think it's real important for us to remember that God's given everybody in our congregation a gift or an ability to use. And if he's given you the gift or the ability to preach, we're not more important than anybody else in the congregation. That's just a particular gift or ability that we need to use to the very best of our ability. And in that, that should help us see the worth and the value of everybody in our congregation and truly esteem others greater than ourselves. And then passage that we're reading from today, I love in 2 Timothy 4 where Paul just simply says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. That's pretty profound. And in that, to me, it's a challenge of a balance. Hopefully, if you're in the area of leadership, of preaching, you're casting a lot of vision. And being able to cast that vision and at the very same time not lose sight of individuals. Be able to see what the whole congregation needs to be doing, but then also being able to take time and appreciate an individual. Since within that balance is a beautiful ministry that should help to avoid burnout. Our focus is on the Lord, and our service is to individuals. The motivation is seeing those individuals grow closer to God.
I think you've got to love people. I think if you love people, it's easy to serve people. It's easy to serve those. It's easy to serve those that you serve under and those that you serve with if you love them. It makes everything easier. And I think that's what David was talking about last hour, is loving people, whether they're your neighbors, whether they're people you work with, you go to school with, people you worship with. You love them, everything's easier. I would encourage you to read everything you can read. That grows you, and when you grow, you help other people grow. And I think you write as much as you can write. My brother's best example I know of that, one of these days we're going to be gone, and how much are we going to leave behind that will continue to bless people for years to come? So put everything you can in writing for your own kids, grandkids, and for everyone else as well.
Love Jesus. The denominational preacher Vance Havner once sat in a large assembly room with multitudes. And one preacher after another would stand behind the microphone and talk about their great work. And then in his age and in his astute wisdom, he came to the microphone and said, "Yes, yes, we are many, but we are not very much. To be much, love Jesus." The book of Hebrews is self-described as God's word of exhortation or God's word of encouragement. It was written to Jews converted to Jesus who were struggling with their Christianity and whether or not to, as the book's keynote says, hold on or hold fast. Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit inspired a penman to write one book of the New Testament to encourage faithfulness, to help us be much, and the whole book is a book about Jesus and what He can mean to your life. Love Jesus.
Gospel preacher, be God's friend. Abraham was. James 2 and verse 23. And perhaps the best way gospel preachers can be God's friend is to be real friends with other gospel preachers. When preachers are young, encourage them. Love them. Listen to them and their struggles. Rejoice with them in their victories. Take great joy in their families. And be there when they hurt. As much as I appreciate Dan, you got half the story right whenever you preached earlier on the glory of preaching. And you spoke of Brother Woodson, Brother McCord, and your dad. You said they're gone now. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Because of the investment they made in you and the investment that others have made in us, their legacy lives. The time will come, if we are blessed by the Lord, when our hair will gray, or worse. Our skin will wrinkle. Our voice will no longer have the strength that it once had. Maybe our backs will be bent. We'll grow old. But we need to encourage older preachers. We need to thank God for older preachers. We need to be a friend to older preachers. And we need moms and dads who will pull their kids aside and say, "You see that man there? Yes, Dad. Yes, Mom. Yes, Grandpa. Yes, Grandma. That man is God's friend." We need preachers who do not suffer from pride, competition, or rivalry, but we can rejoice in the work that men do for the glory of God.
You ought to see what happens when I'm nice to the rain. Before we move to the Northwest, nothing. Drives Texas. All I would say is that coerced obedience is not sincere obedience. You cannot force the gospel down someone's throat. James 1:27 gives the means by which you can effectively teach others, by which you can effectively demonstrate pure and undefiled religion. Help those that need help. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And be righteous. Keep himself unspotted from the world.
When Wayne asked me to do this, he gave me a giant to slay. And before I say what little I intend to say, I first want to say thank you. God has blessed me with an exciting life and a long life. But I don't believe I have ever been more excited in 1 week, in fact, in less than a week, than I have with you. You have exemplified what I am going to say. Thank you for coming here and slaying those giants in our presence the way you did it. There is more to preaching and teaching than just knowing and quoting Scripture. How do you handle it? How do you say it? I razzed Dan just a little bit. I told him he needed to have a word study. Words are how we convey our thoughts. And God has entrusted his words into our hands. A lot of times it's not what you say, but how you say it. And here's my advice to those of you who are so good, and you are, strive to be even better. And to those of you who are striving to become preachers, and it is a strife, study along with the Word how to become as skillful with it as you can possibly be. Because God has magnified His Word above all His name. Psalms 138, verse 2. And you chew on that a while.
If I've learned any lesson in the last 3 years by living in paradise, it is this. Do not prejudge people when they walk into a church building. Don't prejudge people when you meet them in Walmart. Be patient. Take them where they are. Walk with them. Teach them. Be their friend. And when they obey, you forgive them, just like God does.